Happy Father's Day. And I get to do a preach on the Father heart of God, called the Father's heart, or the Father's heart, the Father's heart of God. I'll get it right eventually. And in Luke 15, chapter 1, or verse 1, sorry, it says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law," see, the tax collectors and sinners on one side, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law on the other side. And the tax collectors and sinners were gathered around Jesus to hear what he had to say. So they would suck the revelation out of Jesus by faith. And that's my prayer this morning, is that you are one of those that want to lay hold of what's being said by faith. Not because some little guy from Marsborough is talking, but because someone is trying to teach the word of God, and you are here to grow and learn and become who God's called you to become. And so you want to suck the word of God out of me. Amen. By faith. But listen, it says, "But the Pharisees and tax collectors," hopefully none of those here this morning. Sorry if you work for SARS, but and teachers, yeah. "They sat on the other side, and look what they did. They muttered." They muttered. That's the word muttered. It's the Greek word. It's a they grumbled, muttered, grumble. That's what it's muttered. Muttered. Don't be one of those guys that mutter. Especially when you're muttering to someone else. Man, because you're trying to get them to become a mutterer. Say, I am not a mutterer. Amen. But on Father's Day, with the dough bread you got at home, like we got some, but you can be a butterer, that's fine. But don't be a mutterer. All right. You like that one? Dad joke, Clinto. Dad joke, use it next year, 2026. See, but they muttered. Listen to what they said. "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Amen. "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." They muttered. If this guy knew who we were. So you see, so there's three things here. They asserted their own importance and righteousness. Be careful you don't insert your own importance. Pride comes before a fall. When you insert your own importance, it's not helpful. Amen. Number two, they condemned others while justifying themselves. Be careful that you don't condemn others while justifying yourself. I'm X, they Y. I'm here, they there. I stand in judgment because I have been a Christian for many years. And if I was leading, I wouldn't be X and Y. I heard someone have a coffee with someone else one day, and they came back and they said, "No, I had a coffee." And this guy said this about you. Wasn't the most nice thing to say. And I thought, man, that's interesting, because that guy's never looked me in the eyes and said that to me. Yeah. Amen? So you don't want to be saying stuff, muttering about other people in the church, about other people. Let's be sucking the faith out of Jesus so that we can honor and love. And if you've got a problem, you know, someone once preached this, and I really enjoyed it. If you have a problem with me, and you don't come and tell me, you got no problem with me. Amen. Amen. What you think of me is none of my business. Unless you come and tell me. Then we can work it out. Mano a mano. Or couple with couple. And we want to have a decent adult conversation. I've got no problem being told something that you might not like about me. Let me at least try and defend myself. But it's not helpful if you tell someone else what you don't like about me. Amen. Not that I bother. It doesn't change my life. But it's not helpful for you and what the Lord's trying to do through you and the bride of Christ. It's not helpful for anyone. Don't be a Pharisee and a sad you see. You heard that many times. It's funny every time. Well, it's Father's Day, so my dad's jokes can... Where's my kids? My dad's jokes can just flow today. Hey, the whole day, and you can't do anything about it. Because it's Dad's Day. You can't even walk out the room. They questioned Jesus' wisdom for showing compassion to those, but yet not showing honor to them. All right, so Jesus responds, essentially, to this setup with three stories: the lost coin, the lost something else, sheep, and the lost son. I want to just, as a side note, say this to you. as a church and to those online. Jesus is still on about lost things, specifically lost people. He's never changed his mind. On the mind of Christ on the cross was those that were lost. And he's trying to pull people out of hell, populate heaven, and plunder hell. He's still trying to do the same thing. We want as many sons and daughters sitting in the house worshiping Jesus, because the more do that, the more we pull people out of hell. Amen? Make it your goal to give Jesus what he died for. People. I asked this at the leaders' time, our dream team. I said, here's a question. I'm going to ask you this. Don't put your hand up, but when last did you invite someone to Grace Life? I can tell you, I invited someone to Grace Life 2 weeks ago at the gym, Fit for Life. Just a quick plug there. Best gym in the world. Amen. So when last did you invite someone to Grace Life? Hey, why don't you come to church? Pull the lost, pull people in, because Jesus is still on about the lost. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. When you lose your cell phone, which I thought I'd lost it earlier to this morning, I couldn't find it. When you lose your cell phone and you get home and you don't know where it is, what do? You don't walk into the house and go, well, there's my fridge. My TV's still in the lounge, that's great, okay. My bed's still there, okay. No, everything else pales to significance and you've got to go, I've got to locate my phone. Amen. Let me phone the shop quick. I can't, my phone, I don't have it right, Andrew. Amen. Jesus is still, he doesn't mean he doesn't care about us sitting in the room. He loves us. We're sons and daughters. He says, get on board. Stop dealing your issues. You want to get free from your issues? Get plugged in. Get engaged in the life of the church. Join a life group. Do the growth track. Plug in. God will deal with your issues because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. The plan and purpose is not for you to be licking your wounds the rest of your life. Satan wants to use that to keep your eyes off the prize, which is the lost people of this world. Amen. He'll give you a tissue for your issue. He'll give you friends to help you, to gather around you, because he cares for you. But the goal is not to be, for the next 5 years, worrying about your issues. So actually, I need to be free so that I can do the work of Jesus. Amen. So we're going to read together. Granto, come, brother. You're going to read for me, just to protect my voice. It's a little bit sore from shouting at the next door neighbor's trees, leaves in my pool. All right, Luke 15:11. We're going to read this that parable together.
Okay. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The young one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate.
Yes, amen.
Don't you love that? This son, on another side note here, the son was always a son, was he not? He went into a distant country. Matter of fact, that word distant is not necessarily far away. It just means it's away from the father. It's like where the Gentiles are, not 10,000 k's away. But he left the father and the father's heart. I want to encourage you, but he's still a son. When he came back, he was still a son. Just because someone is living like a Gentile, living like an unsaved person, doesn't mean they don't know Jesus. Doesn't mean they're not saved, rather. Amen? There might be a bit of a sacred cow for some people. This guy was still a son. Amen? So two big things there. The father's heart, or the father's attitude, and the father's actions. We're looking at the father's heart today. His attitude and his actions. Because my heart, my fathering, or who I am, comes out in my attitude and what I do and my actions and right out what I think. And then with that, what I do. Amen? So listen to what Jesus... Now, remember, bear in mind, Jesus gives a story essentially juxtaposing the attitude of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law and their ways, their condemning ways. And then he says, actually, let me give you a parable and show you what the father, you guys think you fathers in the community, you think you're elders and fathers, let me show you what the father's heart's really like. Amen. Number one, while you're still a long way off, as I said, that word long is not necessarily, well, actually, let me change that. When you're still a long way off, I want to say this. The father wasn't going, right, so this is what you thought, this is what you did. Now you can get off into the world, and one day when you come back, I'll see you walk through the door, I'll think about how I treat you. You've rejected me, I'm going to reject you. Be careful, dads and moms, that you've been rejected by your children, you don't reject them back. Amen. Or sons and daughters, you've been rejected by your dad, you don't reject them back. We have a different attitude. Amen. I'm going to punish you because you've punished me. Well, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Maybe they didn't know what they were doing when you were 5 years old. They were rejecting you. They were just trying to figure out life. They didn't know Jesus. They took a wrong turn. And I reject them now because they rejected you. No. Well, it's a long way off. I love that. He recognized his son. Don't you? Don't you? Like, he was waiting for his son. Waiting. Where's my son? The candle's burning at nighttime. The window's open. I'm looking. I'm scanning the horizon for the return of my son. When you're still a long way off, he recognizes him. When my son comes out of school, his 300-400 kids, they're all coming out of Glenwood High. I see him straight away when he comes out. I can recognize him. He's my son. Amen. My heart, like, hey, there's my boy. Amen. And when my daughter was at school, there's my girl. What are we talking about? Sonia. Expect, if you have a son or a daughter that's wayward, expect them to come home. Pray for them. Pray rings around them. Pray circles around your kids. Hallelujah. Amen. And this was not every day. Pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And many prayers the Wilsons prayed for Dawn when she was younger. Amen. Many prayers. I was backslidden for many, many years. So was my mom. Then my mom came back to the Lord in July 1999 on the back of a motorbike with her boyfriend at the time, riding, smoking cigarettes, drinking, carrying on. And as she was riding, she felt God say, if you want your children, because she was concerned about us because we were very wayward, if you want your children to come back to me, you got to come back to me. She told them when they got there, wherever they were, he said, I'm going to church tomorrow. And he was like, what? I'm going to church tomorrow. And they broke up. For 6 months, She got to the church. She said to this person she met there, she said, "Let's pray for your son in Durban, that guy, your son Craig. Let's pray for him." Not that they all needed not prayer, my other siblings, but let's pray that God will bring your son. Within 6 months, I'd come back to Jesus. Every night, I'm sleeping, I'm sweating, I've got AIDS, I've got HIV, I've been promiscuous, I've got this, I've got that, I'm going to hell. I just couldn't sleep at night. I was just struggling. It's like Holy Spirit's just going, "Not you going to hell, son, but you got a better destiny. This is not for you. This life is not for you." And I'm like, my life's a mess. Even though I thought I was doing stuff. And I came back to Jesus. Pray circles around your kids. Number two, filled with compassion. That word compassion is the word pity. How's that? So the father's not going, "Now listen, when you come through these doors, we're going to have a good chat, you and I." Of course, God, a good father disciplines and he brings boundaries. Amen? But this son had left the house. Can't bring boundaries when he's out there. So, but he sees his son coming. So some says he came to his senses. He's hungry, starving to death. He's walking like this. He's not bouncing. He's got no bounce in his step. He's walking. He's sad. His dad sees him and he has pity for him. He knows what the world is like. Those who sow to the flesh reap destruction. We don't revel in the destruction that our friends and our family members that are in the world that know Jesus, that have backslid. We don't revel. "Well, that's great. You get yours." No, Lord, let them see that this isn't good for them. That isn't. I pray that at night time they wake up in the night and go, "I've got to change my life." Amen. Revels. Don't revel. Pity. I love that. Number three, he ran out to meet his son. You know, back in those days, people didn't wear jeans like this. They wore long flowing like linen. The Jewish men and women for the most part. But the men, especially the stately, the elderman, he's a father. They were stately and they were poised and they didn't run anywhere. They didn't run around. "Oh, I'm late for my meeting." They were very poised. This is Jewish history. Jesus says to the Pharisees, he's talking and he's telling the story and he's telling these teachers of the law. He said, "This father waked up his clothes and he ran." And they're like smuttering, "What kind of dad would do? What kind of father, elder? No one would do that." This is the father's heart of God. Amen. Running to his son. He says he ran. Didn't mind being slightly undignified for his son. Amen? Amen? You send that WhatsApp. Maybe today you got to send it. Maybe even as a son to your dad. Represent the father's heart. You send. You humble your son. "Hey, I just want to say I love you, son. Pray for you. Think about you." Amen? Amen. I love that. He ran to meet his son. As soon as we turn to God, he runs to us. Now, there's no inference in the scriptures that the father went to where the son was in his wild living and said, "Now, listen up, yeah, you come here," and he grabbed him by his sideburns like my opa used to when I was younger, and said, "Now, you come home, okay, dad. No. So that the world has to teach you. There has to be some kind of lesson, son. But the moment you turn to me, I'm running to you. Moment he came, says he came to his senses, he went, "This is not for me." Actually, his senses was his tummy. His tummy is grumbling. He's angry. "Let me go back to my father's house." He could have gone, "I'm starving to death, but I'd rather die here than not go back to my dad." You know, he's like, "Actually, at least I'm going to go back and I'll be a hired hand." He gives his whole speech. "I'm going to go there and be a hired hand. And my dad's going to then, okay, come work in the field. At least I can then eat what the servants eat and not eat this pig slop." So he says, and the father runs to him. You turn to the Lord, he runs to you. Amen. I love meeting with people. And then as you talk, I can hear the faith coming out of them. It's like angels. It's like the father goes, "Go answer that prayer." His faith. "Go answer that prayer." Time to the end of the meeting, we say, "Why don't you lift your hands? That's you." And people like stand like this. So sometimes just lifting my hand is an act of faith. During the worship, it's an act of faith. It's an act of the Holy Spirit. It's like the angels go answer that prayer, and the angels come, and they do something in you, How? Well, I don't know. But something happens. Someone once had pictures of angels pouring bowls of fire over a believer's head, and they're like, all right, I believe that. There's an anointing. There's an anointing. There's an authority. There's a commissioning. And I go, there's a heart change. And I got my hands in the air. And sometimes the angels go, bypass you. Amen. Lots of people putting money in the offering. Jesus standing watching. He's still watching what you put in, by the way. Amen. Last week, we caught someone red-handed taking a coffee and sugar, the bottle out the back there, in his bag. Or in their bag. I shouldn't have said this gender. In the bag. Not helpful. Amen. No, that's stealing from the church. No, he's just stealing. It's not helpful. It's not good for him. Amen. Jesus is still watching what you put in there. And Jesus references the old lady because she puts 100%, not 10, 100. He doesn't run back and go, listen, hold on. Oh, wait, guys. Sorry, ma'am. Listen, you just put 100. Remember, it's just 10%, eh? Yeah, take 90 back. Now, guys, this woman only had small 2 months. She put 10% because I gave her 90 back. She's near to 100. He doesn't do that. He just commends her for incredible faith. Her incredible, one day, she is a widow, which means she's got no husband providing for her. She's got two small mites. That's the only thing she has. She takes that and she puts the whole lot in the offering. Probably going, God, I can't live on this. I need you to break in. I'm putting the whole lot in. Amen. You just want us to give money for you, so for your church. You, sir or ma'am, please don't think that. The Holy Spirit can see what you're thinking. He's not condemning you, but he's saying, son, that's not faith. Daughter, that's not faith. That's bad thinking. You're thinking wrong. You're thinking like the world. No one's trying to get something out of you. We're trying to put something into you. One day when we get to heaven, we're going to see this little old lady. And she's going, that's me. I did that. And let me tell you what God did for me afterwards. Let me tell you what he did for my whole rest of my life. Amen. He threw his arms around him. Think about this. Sun sinking. Smell like pigs, eating the slop, feeding the pigs, tending the pigs, stinking like the world. He's a Jewish boy. They're not supposed to be, it's against the law, but he's there. He's forced. Interesting, a famine comes. Let me tell you, God will always bring. When you're not walking in this path, he will always bring that famine. It'll be fine for a while. Woohoo! But then God will go, there's a famine. Amen. You can have R1 million in the bank and still be in famine. It's not about money. It's about emptiness, and brokenness, and distortion of identity. Amen. So he brings the famine comes. Oh, okay. He threw his arms around his son. I love that. Threw his arms around his son. Hello, boy. Good to have you back here. Now, next time. And it says, and then he kissed him. That word kiss in the Greek is not a kiss. So I had a French gram. She was about this tall. Stocky little lady. Thick French accent. She was from northern France. She grew up and born and grew up there and came here in her later years. Thick French. She called the French gram. Hey, French gram. This is not gram. French gram. Hey, French gram. Not even Frenchy, just French gran. Yeah, French gran. And she would do this from when I remember her, from this time till when I got to my teenagers. Where mame? Where mame? When she'd see me. And she'd grab me, put her arms up, and kiss me. That's that kiss, that word in the Greek. Yeah. Let me demonstrate. Clinton Grant, come up here quickly. Now, I want you to kiss him on his cheeks. And she would grab me, and when I was like 9 or 10, and like this, she'd like, and obviously, like, yes, like, I don't know. Because she lived here in Durban, up in Red Hill. I lived in Marisburg. I grew up there, so we'd come and visit my uncle. She lived with my uncle, and so she stayed on the property up in Red Hill there. And she'd see me. Nom, 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 nom. And obviously, you know, when I was younger, when I got older, you know, I would put my foot on the chest and I'd just kick her. I didn't do that. Anyway, that's the kiss. The father. Think about it. He stinks of stuff. He stinks of the world. That's the father's heart. Think about the Pharisees. Listen to this. From muttering to getting red hot angry. That's not God. Would never belittle himself like that. Never. Hey, this is my father, Jesus is saying. And they're like, hey, bro, wait, we're going to kill you. Number two, the father's actions. And the small, number one, think about the gifts he gives. First of all, I want to say, number one, quick. I love that. Quick. Son's home, is it, eh? Now you're going to stew in this position for a while. Go to your old room. As a matter of fact, your brother's got your old room. You got the one small downstairs. He goes, quick, to the servant, quick. Bring the robe. Bring the robe. A robe speaks of dignity and honor. Dignity, number one, the robe would have smelled, think about what that robe would have smelled like compared to the son's clothing. Okay, the difference in smell and cleanliness. He puts a robe around him. He covers up his son's shame. Don't you love that? That's what we do to each other. We cover up. When you are gossiping about someone, you're not representing the father's heart. That is the heart of the world. It's the heart of the enemy who seeks to undermine the bride of Christ. Cover. Maybe you said something about me that actually there's a bit of truth in it. I'm like that, or I'm not like that. Okay, but I need your prayers, not your muttering. Pray for me. I'm not even an enemy, and Jesus says, pray for your enemies. Amen. I'm supposed to be your friend. At least when you look at me in the face, I'm supposed to be your friend. I know who you are. Amen. But you don't know that I know. But you'll never know. Someone once said this, and I really like it. They said, if you have a problem with me and you don't tell me, you don't have any problems with me. And I don't want to know. Unless you come and say, this is the issue. Great, then we'll work it out. Amen. But at least give me the opportunity to defend or say why, X, why, why. And it's not just Craig, it's any one of us, any one of you, someone else saying, hey, amen, dignity, robe, covered him. And then the honor. There's, I love the scripture, listen to this. 1 Samuel 2, verse 8 says, he raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. Woo. You know why Jesus says, pray for your friends? Pray for your enemies. Because even those enemies might be needy. He raises, pray, because the Lord wishes to raise them. I mean, he should know better. True, but he doesn't. So pray for him. Pray for her. Pray for them. Amen. He seats him with princes and has them inherit the throne of honor. Be careful that you're not belittling someone who God actually wants to raise them and seat them with princes and give them the throne of honor. And you, like the Pharisee, want to mutter and say they're just terrible. Amen. The father's heart of God. Number two, quickly. Hey, I've run out of time here. Put a ring on his finger. Just pause there. Put a ring on his finger. Power and authority. Esther 8, the ring of symbol of power. And in Genesis 41, Pharaoh gives Joseph a ring. Talks about the power. See, when I've been given a ring by Jesus, the Father, that ring signifies authority. It signifies something of a connectedness to the Father. Amen? And authority, carrying what the Father wants you to carry. So he gives it to the Son, even though the Son, in a sense, didn't really deserve it. But he had come back by faith to the Father. And the Father said, that faith, that is enough. That willingness to come back to me is enough for you to be carrying the full enchilada. The whole thing. Amen. Of course, as leaders, someone comes back, you got to, you know, Paul says, test them, the deacons. So we understand boundaries and all that. But this is the Father's heart. This is how God acts towards us. He said, no worries putting boundaries in. No, every good father has boundaries on their children. Boundaries and speaking and direction and sometimes discipline. But this is the Father's heart. Juxtapose that to the Pharisee muttering, I just wish you harm. Amen. Or I don't wish you harm, but just don't say anything positive. I had someone come once to me and spoke about DCC. DCC. And said, hey, I was at DCC. Oh, no, but I don't know. Because he just talks about money, that guy. And I said, bro, if Grace Life wasn't here, Dawn would be at DCC. She loves that church, bro. She goes to a conference there. I go, babe, you remember, it's Grace Life, eh? You could come back. She loves DCC. So I said to him, you know what will happen? Matter of fact, I was at the gym. So it wasn't actually here, but he was coming to Grace Life. He'd been here about a month. At the squat rack, mind you. And I said to him, the problem is, you're saying that about Johnny Krobler. Won't be long till he's saying that about Craig Glenn. I don't want to hear anything about someone else. Just come and cover. Amen. Cover. Amen. Maybe you got it wrong. As I said the other day, at the end of the day, if I stand on your toes in something I've said, and now, yes, Bruce Craig stood, yeah, it was painful. Or maybe you hurt your toe 10 years ago, and you broke a bone there. There's some trauma you're carrying, and now just lightly say, no, because you're a leader, and my last leader hurt me. No, actually, maybe you're just carrying trauma. Get healed from the trauma. Amen. Amen. It's the trauma that you came from the past that's actually rising to the surface. It's hurting you, not me. That, wherever I was, sandals on his feet, freedom. Oh, I've already gone over time. Sandals on his feet, I love that, freedom. The slaves in those days did not wear shoes. But sons and daughters in the house wore shoes. Because you have the ability to go anywhere your feet want to go in the Father's house. Everywhere you place your foot, the Lord has given you. That means anywhere where I believe that I can bring the authority of God to bear here, he has given me as a believer. Lord, I thank you that this family member, that this business, that this, actually, you have your way here, God. You break in here by your power. Amen. And then the last one, the great feast. Why don't we stand together? I love that. A great feast. Interestingly, the father goes out to meet both sons. The younger son, he goes out to where the son is, and what happens? He says, come, and he brings the son, and the son comes back and thanks Dad. Matter of fact, the son's trying to say, listen, I'm a sinner, and he's rehearsed this whole spiel. And as he starts speaking, the father just shuts him up. Hey, Dad, not interested. Come, you've already come home. Don't give me your things out. I can see your heart, son. I love it. Come. He goes out to the field to the older brother, goes out to him. Come. No. Refuses to come inside. Don't be the older brother. Amen. Jesus taught us to call God our Father, interestingly. He himself used an even more intimate term when he prayed, Abba, or Abba, which means dear Father. Papa, Papa. Hey, the Pharisees must have just, Papa. See, there's a door up there, I thought so. Okay, Papa, Papa. But it can be difficult for some to think of God that way if they didn't grow up loving with a loving father in their childhood. Can't see God as because they didn't grow up with that. I grew up in a household where I didn't have my dad telling me it was a stepfather. Divorce is not good for the kids. Stepdad never really told me love me. Short, stocky Afrikaans guy. He was a good dad, but I never heard those words. So maybe I could, but do you love me, God? And I felt the Father's changed me. All these years, God, he loves me. Amen. Amen. I hold nothing against my biological dad, my late father, stepfather passed away. I did his funeral, by the way. Many develop misconceptions of what God is really like because they can't make the connection that God is like a loving father. They see God like the Pharisees. He's strict and strict, be angry all the time. Amen. We're all growing in our maturity and understanding who the Father is, but this is the Father's heart of God. But what if we reverse the analogy? Instead of saying God is like a loving father, we say a loving father is like God. Especially the way Jesus portrayed him in the story of this prodigal son. A father who gives his children appropriate opportunities to make their own choices rather than dominating and controlling their behavior. How's that? A father who never gives up hope that their wayward children will come home. A father who welcomes them with open arms when they do, and without judgment and criticism, but love. Amen. A father who always offers his children the gift of dignity, authority, and identity, even to children who don't always deserve it. Who's standing here this morning doesn't feel like they deserve the love of a father because of their actions? Why don't you put your hand up? That's you. I haven't been good, Craig. I've backslidden, and I've been this, I've been that, and I don't love like I should. I don't think I deserve the love of the Father. That's you, put your hand up. There were some hands now, they put them down. There we go. Keep your hand up nice now. This is faith, friends. Faith. Craig, I haven't walked like God. I've actually said stuff that I shouldn't have. I don't deserve. I haven't loved. I've been through a divorce. I've hurt my kids. This happened. That's you. Craig, that's me. Put your hand up. Put your hand up. Nice and high. Don't be shy. There were some hands up. Just keep your hand up. There we go. Lord, you see the hands that are up. Father, I pray that you would show them your love. That their love is not based on what they've done, but it's based on what you did at the cross. That we are sons and daughters of the Most High. And you've pulled us in because we're in this house. Father, I thank you that even now, everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray you would change hearts, change minds. That we will see you for who you are, a father who loves us. Your kindness leads us into change. That we will see that you are a God who loves us with a love that's unconditional, benevolent, never-ending, like waves on the shore constantly, 24/7. The love that pours out into our hearts. I pray, open our eyes to see this on this Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.